A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros swept the Baltimore Orioles over the weekend, and they kicked their ass, especially the last two games. Game one on Friday, 14-11. The Astros hang on. Saturday, 5-1, thanks to seven solid innings from Ronel Blanco, and yesterday, seven strong innings from Framber Valdez. They win 8-1. They have now won five straight. It's their second longest winning streak of the year. It's their second sweep of the year, which I demanded and then predicted after talking myself into it. They're two games below 500, six back of Seattle, 14-6, their last 20, 7-2 since releasing Jose Abreu. You got to be feeling, at the very least for a day, very good about this team. Lots of ground to make up. They're going to need to show more resilience than they did this weekend with all the injuries that they are playing through. But what we saw this weekend deserves a hearty pat on the back and a slow clap, Joe.
Big time. It was, well, about time. About time that something like this finally happened. Yeah, if you're not all the way back, yeah, I get what Eric the driver texted in earlier. Wait till they get to above 500, at 500. I agree with you. I understand where you know Eric's coming from, that you want to see the Astros get there all the way. It starts with sweeping the Rockies in this two-game series. You should annihilate them once again. They are not a good baseball team. You should be a good baseball team. So it's about time. It feels nice. It feels nice to have positive vibes.
Who's the number one hero of the weekend?
It's a good question.
I feel like with the way Bregman's playing of late, Bregman has two hits on Friday. Bregman yesterday goes 4-for-4. I'm going to give it to Bregman.
Yeah, I would lean Bregman too, because I mean, look, and he got a walk yesterday too, so he gets on base all five times. He comes up, he goes 0-for-4, you know, on Saturday, but you're not going to be great every single game. So I put him. I think that's fair. Put him number one. Absolutely on this list.
If we're going to pick one of the pitchers, I will say Fromber's too, because I think Fromber doing that after Blanco had done what he had done the game before. Obviously, the Astros had a little more run support for Fromber on Sunday, but they needed Fromber to go seven. And we know that even if Fromber is a very good pitcher, for the most part, that he every now and then has his off games. And also, you have to think about this. Maybe some unfamiliarity with Cesar Salazar behind home plate, because Yiner Diaz and Fromber is never happening again.
Yeah, apparently that's just over.
Done.
Now. Like there is no coming back from that relationship. What a bizarre thing with Fromber. You can only have Maldi last year.
So bizarre that it's just consistent with who Fromber is.
Yeah, but then you go Caratini instead of Yiner. You have a couple good starts with Yiner. The first start of the year I think was pretty good, thinking back to it. And then now it's you go right back to Salazar. It's just weird. Like he can't, for some reason, he's not okay with Yiner back there.
It's something that I know this is, I mean, there's still two games under 500, but like if they make the playoffs, like what would they do? That your either game one or game two starter just like can't pitch to your starting catcher?
Caratini or Salazar?
Salazar is just going to start a World
Series
game?
Is your catcher Diaz is your DH and Alvarez is your left fielder? No matter if it's at... You're at Minute Maid and it's a good ballpark, or you're in the worst left field in baseball. Jordan's going to have to be your left fielder.
Sick.
Like, cool. That's just, it is what it is.
Love that.
I mean, the people, like, the thing people were surprised about the most yesterday wasn't even Fromber's hair came back, that he got his extensions done. It was the fact that he wasn't wearing his blue jersey. They were talking about on the broadcast, like, when's the last time he hadn't worn his blue jersey?
It's a sign of growth.
I hope so.
Can you pitch to Yiner, though? Yeah, like, can he grow into... Like, I'm cool with the jersey. I don't care about the jersey.
Well, hang on, guys, because, you know, just like we know, the Astros got a couple of big acquisitions coming at the trade deadline. You know, we're not just talking about Lance McCullers. We're talking about Luis Garcia. You're also going to get another trade acquisition at the deadline in the mind of Dana Brown. Mm. Victor Caratini.
Boom.
He's going to be back. Because it seems like he's going to be out for 4 weeks.
I kind of like Salazar. as the backup.
Salazar's looked pretty good to open up. I did not expect this at all. I mean, his batting average right now is 500. You like to see that? Will it last?
Keep that up. Keep that up, yeah. Cesar.
Probably not. I read it. I want to say this was in the Houston Chronicle write-up by Matt Kawahara, but it also could have been Chandler Rome. Whatever the case, Cesar Salazar has that veteran savvy, and reading about what he brings to the table, a focus behind the plate, I was reminded of someone that we've got to tip our hat to and pour one out for. Forgotten hero, who we did. We did get to see him. He didn't look very good in white. It made him look kind of fat. Martin Maldonado.
He did a podcast with Will Kunkel. Cesar Salazar did.
He did.
And he talked about the how great Martin Maldonado was behind the scenes.
Well, he was.
He's the new Martin Maldonado.
No. I think.
Why not?
No, I think like when Michael Jordan retired, or like when LeBron James retires, or Tom Brady, we can't just anoint someone the next Martin Maldonado.
Fine.
We can't go, oh, he's the next Tom Brady. No, you're not the next Martin Maldonado.
I can't. I can't anoint someone who's like statistically one of the worst defensive catchers in baseball and hits like 120 when he's an Astro.
No, because of the leadership.
You're right.
That's what you're saying.
Can't replace
you're saying
that.
It. You're saying it's the leadership.
No, you're right. You're right. He can't replace that.
You say you can't replace that, but then
Valdez
throws 7 innings, 7 strikeouts on Sunday.
It looked like there was tears happening last night. Okay, when whoever pitched the 9th inning and Salazar hugged at the end of the game because they were so excited to be together and reunited.
And they weren't sad tears like Travis Scott's tears in his mugshot. They were happy tears.
Yeah. So maybe he can replace the leadership. I mean, look what the Space Cowboys are doing.
You know what? Prove it to me, Cesar Salazar.
Look what the Space Cowboys are doing. They already won. They already made the playoffs. The season's not even halfway over. They already made the playoffs once.
Barry Clint.
Salazar, that's their catcher.
And by the way,
winning mentality.
Don't forget, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Listen tonight, Thursday, at the Sugarland Space Cowboys game, the defending first half Pacific Coast League champs.
It just occurred to me that we're setting ourselves up.
For what?
For if the Sugarland Space Cowboys don't win the second half championship, that there might, like Jose Abreu, there's some when Jose Abreu's on the Astros versus when he's not, the record of the Houston Astros. I don't want any Space Cowboys record before Paul threw out the first pitch. The Space Cowboys record after Paul and
You're
Jeremy threw
Paul.
Out the second
I
pitch.
I like this. I do want that. You're wrong.
No, I
You're
don't.
Wrong.
I don't.
You're wrong, Sean.
I don't want that. I want the record to get even better.
The only record that matters is that the Astros are 3-0 since I predicted that they would sweep the Baltimore Orioles. No one in this city has the sight like me. No one has the chutzpah like me. The same kind of chutzpah to take off a shirt while playing flag football, and despite having the pastiest skin in the world, getting sunburned, did I still go and play flag football on Saturday morning, score 2 touchdowns in broken cleats that I played through at the end and probably shouldn't have, and I think I popped a hammy on?
Yikes.
Absolutely.
So you were burnt before the game or during?
I burned in the middle of the game because I was getting a little hot, so I took my shirt off.
Could you tell, like, as it was happening that you were cooking a little bit?
These little bastards who were trying to cover me couldn't. Made some comments that I was starting to get a little sunburnt, and I was like, yeah, like I've been doing to you every play, huh?
Okay, so
I trash talking a very young person that was out there. I don't know how I feel like this person might not have been college aged.
Okay, so they're like Josh Giddey age.
That's a weird way to put that. That's a very weird way to put that. But yeah, after I burnt him 3 times in a row, this kid said, like, yeah, you weren't gonna catch it because like pass was overthrown to me running deep downfield.
Yeah.
And I got very angry and I lit him up talking about how the only thing that you have more than the drops you've had today are the times that you went over to go get water, soft boy.
Ooh, got him.
But no, then I'm like, why am I yelling at a 16-year-old? Anyway, sorry. Let's bring it back to the Houston Astros sweep.
So Bregman 1, Fromber 2. I'm good with that. Can I go Blanco 3 then?
Just to kind of roll both pitches? Yeah, you can. Yeah. You want to put Ronel Blanco in a very special class. I think we're going to talk about that next. He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George with a very sunburnt Paul Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Astros got a sweep over the weekend. Your boy predicted it. Was he pandering while he did it? I would never do such a thing, he said while holding a broom that is very, very dirty.
This is a not a pander show.
No, I would never do that, ever.
Everything we say is 100% and always serious.
Mm-hmm. Sarcasm, it's illegal here.
What's that?
We don't do that. So, Joe, Ronel Blanco has been very good this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's been surprising how good he's been. And on Saturday, when the Astros pitching was clearly lacking in depth after Bloss almost gives you four, gets pulled out of the game, and shoulder discomfort, whatever that means.
I do feel bad for the kid, though.
I do, too. He's out. The Astros were going to need another great performance from Ronel Blanco on Saturday. And I don't know if it was great because statistically it certainly wasn't the gaudiest stat line. But Blanco once again went out there, gave you seven, only allowed one earned run along the way. Does this put Ronel Blanco in the conversation for American League Cy Young?
It should. He should be considered in consideration, at least. I mean, when you look at him statistically, there are certain areas where he is not going to match up as well as a guy who's going to win it, most likely. Right? Like, but he is second in the American League in ERA, thanks to the Astros and what they did to Corbin Burns this weekend. Tanner Houck is the only one from the Red Sox who's a better ERA this season. He has 8 wins. The only pitcher with more than 8 wins this year is Seth Lugo, who has 10 for the Royals. He's just been a great pitcher this year. His whip is incredibly low. It's a .97. Blanco has made the case. Now, the argument against him will be his strikeout numbers. Just like, for example, against Corbin Burns, he has 15 less strikeouts than Burns does. He has less quality starts than Burns does. But he has the no-hitter. He's been consistently good, and he keeps having performances like this, where even if he's only striking out 4 guys, he's going 90 to 100 pitches. He's giving you 6 or 7 innings. Ronel Blanco absolutely should be in the Cy Young conversation right now. I don't know if he should win it this year. There's a lot of season left to go. Fromber was in it last year at this point. He was the betting favorite probably at this point last year, and then we all saw how that ended. Like, at some point, Blanco is going to pitch more innings this year than he ever has in his career. So he could struggle mightily in the second half if his arm starts to wear down. But just statistically, he belongs in this conversation. He's a Cy Young candidate. He's a top 4 Cy Young guy right now. And if the Astros turn this thing around fully and they keep going and Blanco keeps going, I think it also would be hard to ignore what he's just meant to this team throughout the whole season.
What do you mean by that?
As everything that's gone wrong, all the injuries.
I don't think they're going to ignore it. Do you feel like there's something that should come as a result of
I feel like Cy Young's less narrative driven. I think it's more.
No, do you feel like he should earn a contract or something like that?
No, but just like here's recognition from like for the voters that like, oh, like that he, if even if his stats aren't totally there. I mean, Blanco contract, I'm not worried about that stuff. Play these guys while they're cheap. Who knows what he really is long term? This could be a one hit wonder kind of a thing. But yeah, I think Blanco should be, he's an all star for sure. No questions asked.
I'm going to piss you off.
Oh, no.
So there's an article written by ESPN, midseason 2024 MLB Awards. They gave these out on their own. The person who puts this together, his name, in case you want to get after him via mentions, is Bradford Doolittle.
That doesn't sound like a real person.
He sounds like he was a baseball player in the 1920s.
Bradford Doolittle with another dinger.
Yep, 100%.
He invented the slider.
This highlight presented to you by Lucky Strike. It's so safe for your kids now. The Cy Young Award, top 10 in his midseason awards. I'm just going to read them off. Number 1, Tanner Houck. It's not pronounced Yuck. Tanner Houck for the Red Sox. 2, Garrett Crochet, the Chicago White Sox. Mm-hmm. We saw the Astros take him down.
Bum.
Last week. Yeah, fraud. Seth Lugo, Kansas City Royals is 3. Tariq Skubal from the Detroit Tigers is 4.
Bum. Another guy the Astros touched up.
Yeah, I'm just hearing a bunch of guys the Astros just, like, kicked the ass of.
Eric Fetty, Chicago White Sox, 5.
I think the White Sox won his start against the Astros. So can't, as much as I want to call him a bum, I don't think I can.
Cole Reagans, 6, Kansas City Royals.
Okay.
Tyler Anderson, 7, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. 8, Jack Flaherty, Detroit Tigers. 9, Corbin Burnes, Baltimore Orioles.
Bum.
10, Logan Gilbert, Seattle Mariners. Ronel Blanco's name not mentioned in the AL Cy Young top 10 in the midseason awards for ESPN's. I will say his name one more time. Do what you may with that information. Bradford Doolittle.
I always find these lists interesting because I just wonder like what stats they pick and choose from outside the traditional stuff that you're like, this guy deserves it so much more than what Ronel Blanco is. Like Tyler Anderson is a great example. Both guys have given up 10 home runs. Ronel Blanco has walked 7 less guys than Tyler Anderson. His ERA is better. He has more wins. His whip is lower. Like, every statistical category, Ronel Blanco is better than Tyler Anderson in. Like statistically, he's better than most of those guys on that list. He's better than Cole Reagans has been this year. Really, Seth Lugo is because the wins will matter for sure. I always just wonder, like, what people are thinking when they look at this. Because it's statistically, Blanco's better than all. Now, that might be, it might have been very different before yesterday or before Saturday, to be fair, in terms of, like, ERA. That was a great start by Blanco. You know, we know how pitcher ERAs work. They can inflate and deflate just in one game. But statistically, if he's not in the top 10 right now, I think that list is crazy. Because statistically, he's better than most of those guys that were named.
This midseason awards article that Bradford Doolittle wrote also features another category.
Ooh,
there's only one negative category in these midseason awards. Most disappointing team, which is not an award that is given out at the end of the year, Houston Astros. Writes Bradford Doolittle, quote, "This did not figure to be the season the Houston dynasty crashed, and perhaps that outcome can still be avoided, as the Astros appear to be catching fire right now. If the current surge doesn't continue, the Houston title window might be slammed shut by the time we hit the trade deadline. Of course, there are plenty of non-Houstonians out there that wouldn't exactly be disappointed by this. But in terms of expectation versus results, the Astros have fallen way short." All of that article is true. However, what's up with the "there are plenty of people who wouldn't hate to see this" comment in there?
Still just
Bradford Doolittle.
The John Boy Army, that when the Yankees fail in the playoffs, the biggest thing they'll be celebrating is if the Astros also don't make the playoffs. Like, if the Yankees get knocked out in the first round, they'll just deflect and be like, "Well, the Astros didn't make the playoffs."
It's never happened before, though.
Like, he's not wrong. There are a lot of people that will be very happy if the Astros continue.
But that doesn't seem to be, as the kids say, unbiased journalism. You know, it seems to be a little fake news.
Agreed.
A little misinformation here.
I don't understand how the Astros can be the most disappointing team in baseball. They didn't win the World Series last year.
Oh.
And that team is worse than the Astros.
That's
this year.
True.
How That's is it true. Not the Rangers? Like just be like trying to be as objective as I possibly can.
Maybe the injuries that they have on the pitching side of things.
Okay.
Or are they going Mickey Mouse title?
Yeah. I mean,
Astros have been good for years. Johnny come lately.
Mm.
Rangers fans, they're used to their team being bad.
People didn't really believe in the Rangers title.
Yeah.
They think they're frauds.
Yeah.
That's why the Astros were the most disappointing team. That's fair.
Could be that. Certainly could be that.
I mean, the Astros are probably number 2 on my list of most disappointing teams in baseball. But it's the Rangers won the World Series this year, and they're below 500.
Listen, I have no issue with him saying they're the most disappointing team in baseball. The Astros have been very, very disappointing to this point until this weekend.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, if he wrote this article before Friday night, he's 100% right.
He would still be right even after this sweep. My issue is more, what's up with the random, like, lots of non-Houstonians will love to see this. Kiss my grits, sir.
Well, that's just true.
It is true, but still, you don't need to write that. You don't need to say that. Bulletin board material. Cut that out. Ronel Blanco, cut out the top 10 Cy Young Award winning per Bradford Doolittle, baseball scribe of the 21st century. Put that on your bulletin board. You need fuel for the fire.
You don't need team meetings. You need bulletin board material.
You just need haters. They hate us because they ain't us. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm holding on to my broom because I predicted a sweep by the Astros over the course of the weekend. We're getting closer and closer to the start of the NFL season. In fact, we are 73 days away, and we will remember one of the most terrifying players in NFL history that you probably don't think about as a terrifying player. Next, Galan and George, stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
73 days away from the start of the NFL season. Larry Allen, Cowboys guard, is someone who passed away earlier this month. Very sad. This is one of the best offensive linemen in NFL history. I don't know how many people remember this moment in a Cowboys-Saints game with Al Michaels on the call, but you guys need to do yourself a favor and look up the time that Larry Allen ran down a linebacker who looked like he had an easy pick six.
Second and nine. Under 5 minutes left in the half, and it's not in the air. It's picked off by Darian Connor. And Connor is inside the 40, the 30, and tackled at the 16-yard line.
Larry Allen. I can't believe that.
Give me a break. The rookie from Sonoma State.
This guy weighs 325 pounds.
Wayne Martin batted it. We think Darian Connor with the pick, and Allen saves the touchdown.
I can't get over that.
He runs down a very speedy linebacker, a little bit of an angle, but this is a huge man.
This guy's got a rocket booster strapped to his back.
I don't know who that color commentator is. This is 1995 football we're talking about here. He was blown away by how fast Allen moved. But I was too.
I'm watching it right now, just on loop, and like he's moving.
And this is also one of the strongest players in NFL history. He would throw defensive linemen around regularly, and we're talking like the biggest name defensive lineman in the 1990s. One of the toughest players too. He almost died at 6 weeks old with meningitis, and he got stabbed 12 times while protecting his brother when he was 10.
I didn't know that.
I went down a deep rabbit hole looking at Larry Allen's Wikipedia today. Rest in peace, Larry Allen. One of the best and toughest offensive linemen ever. Also, a shout out to Patriots guard John Hanna, who for a time was the greatest player in Patriots franchise history. As we continue our countdown, oh my God, you guys, Taylor Swift was at a concert in London. And she brought Travis Kelce on stage.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh. It's so cute. In her Kelce era, it was so cute. Why are you laughing, Joe? Why don't you have a take on this? This is the iconic celebrity couple.
Yeah.
It's true love.
It's true love. I hope one day they get engaged.
Well, you don't necessarily need to be engaged because, you know, that involves diamonds.
Like the royal wedding? Like how, like, everyone, like, tried to watch the royal wedding? Do you think, like, the Swift-Kelce wedding will be televised?
Yeah, they'll find a way to monetize that. I mean, Taylor
Definitely.
Swift, she knows she's got those fans on her hook. And look, I have no issue with that. Taylor Swift, I think, is an incredibly talented musician.
Is she?
Yeah, she is. What, you don't think she is? Her songs are incredibly catchy. Her fans are psychos and would storm a Capitol. But they would have a much more organized Capitol storming if they were to do that.
I'm laughing at the idea of the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift wedding live on Peacock.
Yeah.
Like, it's like she could sell it to a streamer.
It'd be great. You know, so many people would watch it.
Amazon Prime presents.
They better have a good
Swift marriage.
They better have a good security detail because I 100% could see a Swifty going Gavrilo friendship circa the beginning of World War I going and capping him like he's the Archduke Franz Ferdinand. Could see that. That's just a thought. Swifties scare me. They really do. But congratulations to the love that is now in front of everybody and being used as part of a concert.
I can't believe the video that just like actually stuns me a little bit from that Taylor Swift concert is the Paul McCartney one, where he's just like in the crowd dancing and there's people all around him and he's not just being like overrun. In that moment, it's her audience that young that they don't recognize Paul, even though they're there,
or even if they recognize him,
it's Paul McCartney.
Yeah, but they're at a Taylor Swift show.
Yes,
I could understand completely somebody not knowing one of the front men for a band that was popular in the 1960s in 2020. I mean, that was a very long time ago.
It was.
He's like an 80-year-old man.
Yeah,
it's Beatles.
No, you're right. But
there's 5 Beatles movies coming out soon.
Hmm.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. I was named after Paul McCartney.
They're making one on each person in the band. And they're going to come out like...
Oh, there's a Ringo movie?
Yes.
Good for Ringo.
They're making one on each... They're filming them all at once. Wait, and they're each going to be like 2 hours.
Is it going to be a Yoko Ono movie?
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the 5th one?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I guess it's 4, yeah.
Okay.
No, I want to see the Yoko Ono one.
Maybe it was 5 and the last one was a movie about
Avengers? Like they all get their solo?
That's kind of what it feels like. It's like they get like the story of each of them and the story of them all together. I can't remember if it was 4 or 5.
Continuing to go around the National Football League. You know who's not coming together?
Yeah.
The New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers refuses to show up for mandatory minicamp.
Still?
Super Bowl MVP Julian Edelman was on with Colin Cowherd and had this to say about Aaron Rodgers not showing up for mandatory practice.
If I was in that locker room and Aaron Rodgers wasn't there for 3 days on the mandatory minicamps...
Having played 4 snaps last year.
Having played 4 snaps off of an injury when we have 2 new receivers, we got a bunch of new linemen that we added to the team with a CBA that doesn't allow us to practice a lot. You know, I guarantee there's 4 or 5 guys, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys in that locker room sitting there like, where's he at?
Where's our star quarterback?
Where's he at? Now, you know, if they start 4-0, no one's going to care.
That's right.
But that's this the NFL. I think it's a bad look for your leader, for whatever reason, to go and miss an unexcused absence. I mean, I was with Tom Brady in his 25th year or 23rd year, and he started missing OTAs here and there, but he was still there, never missed a mandatory minicamp. And, you know, I just thought it was a bad look.
I don't think it's a huge deal that Rodgers isn't there. It's more about the way that the Jets handled this, where they said he – didn't have missing minicamp excuse. They could have just said, yeah, he was excused to go. And then everybody found out that it was about ayahuasca. I don't know that a couple of minicamp practices are going to make the Jets gel a little bit more going into the regular season. But all that said, it's not like the Jets have really had that much of an opportunity to work together, considering Aaron Rodgers is going into his second year with the New York Jets. There's a degree of familiarity that other quarterbacks across the NFL certainly have much more of going into the 2024 season than Rodgers does with his own team.
Honestly, it's why I think that some of that roster looks the way it does, so he doesn't have to go to stuff. Having Lazard, Randall Cobb on that roster, there's guys he threw to in Green Bay, just because so he knows them. I mean, but you've got, you know, who he's probably not practicing because he's always hurt, but Mike Williams is there now from the Chargers. You have Garrett Wilson. And you've thrown how many passes to these guys? I don't get why he's not there. I understand why the Jets are saying that
he's a massive douche. I mean, that's why. Yeah.
It's
not.
He's a very selfish person.
It's not brain surgery why he's not there. It's very easy.
If I were
in his shoes, you're right.
I might be the exact same person. But this is 100% a guy who is more about himself than he is about the team, and that would piss me off if I was his teammate, no matter how good he is. He better have a great year this year.
And that's why they know they can't say it's excused, because he's going to do drugs. like even if it's legal where he's going and you're fine. I would never do ayahuasca, but like I smoke sometimes. I have no problem with drugs. But
whoa. Damn, Joe, you're a father.
Wow. And I don't do when he's there.
Glutton the junkie.
I visit. Yeah. I go to places where it's legal. Why do you think we go to Illinois? What else is there? It's just, you can't be his teammate and be like he's literally sitting in a cave doing drugs, and like that's okay with us.
He's puking and
yeah,
going toozy too.
Like it's just we're this is so Aaron Rodgers, and then he's gonna come back from camp or from his drug trip, and they're gonna go, "Why weren't you here?" And he's gonna play the victim card and say, "Everything I do, you guys try to make into a big deal." If it was any other quarterback in the NFL, they would be treated the exact same way.
A friend of mine's actually done this, the ayahuasca retreat, and I love him to death. And he took he wrote a journal of his experience, and he explained it to me. And the amount of talk about, let's just say, purging that happened, don't want to gross anybody out in the lunchtime hour, made me say, "I love you, buddy. There's no way in hell I will ever do this."
Yeah.
I hope that it brought you peace. Sounds like it brought him some peace. But I don't want to be sitting in the pieces, if you will.
So you would never do it?
Zero chance.
Sean?
Like 10% chance? I could be talked into it.
I'll
do anything for money.
Oh,
so if someone pays you.
If it's Joe George here for ayahuasca retreats.
That would be awesome.
Use promo code 975 on your first order.
So it's only $9,750 compared to what it probably is?
Oh, yeah.
You gotta fly to some random country to do it?
I didn't think about how expensive it probably
is. Yeah, it is pricey. It'd be a large endorsement check, though, I'd imagine. So maybe we should look into this.
Yeah.
Fair point.
I will be willing to
Gallant George,
put my name on it.
This weekend, we're at Le Bourge. Next weekend, join us on a trip to do ayahuasca.
I'm in Peru.
Oh, boy.
Maybe the Jets will play in Peru next year.
I mean, that 100% is on the table.
Yeah.
Fireman Ed at a yurt.
he's got a pan flute. Galana, Georgia, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call and text in. 73 days away from the start of the NFL season. Coming up next, is there anything better than a Game 7? In the world of sports, because we've got one tonight in the Stanley Cup Finals. Or could a College World Series Game 3 be better? It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
You're listening to Galant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
So we've got a Game 7 tonight in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Edmonton Oilers were down 3-0 to the Florida Panthers. That series is now tied at 3 games apiece. So with the Astros off tonight, you've got some interesting options. You got that. You've also got the College World Series finale. The Texas A&M Fighting Aggies are playing Tennessee. Neither team has won the College World Series before. I feel like I'm going to go out and about to watch these games. I don't think I should, given the way that last Monday went when I watched my Boston Celtics clinch the NBA championship.
Yeah, but you're not going to celebrate as hard.
I don't think I will. I'll be watching with a lot of my friends who are Aggies. I am curious, though, about what the TV setup is going to be like. Because I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit disappointed that the NBA Finals game did not have the volume on at the bar that I went to go get wings and watch the game. Instead, they had the volume on for the College World Series game. And I imagine that for this, it'll also be the College World Series game that gets the audio. If I have to pick between these two games tonight, even as somebody who does not follow hockey the way that I used to when I lived up in the Northeast, I am definitely picking Game 7 in the NHL. There is nothing quite like playoff hockey. A Game 7 to decide the Stanley Cup Finals, especially with a team that was down 3-0 in this series. Oh, man. This is, I think, a very fun watch, especially considering supposedly the best player in hockey, Connor McDavid, is on the ice for Edmonton, who has cool uniforms.
They do, and cool fans.
Yes, one very big-chested fan.
They also, I mean...
And a cool name.
He probably... That's a good point. He also... He's probably going to... He could win MVP. Of
Connor McDavid, not the big-chested fan, yes.
Of the Stanley Cup Finals, even if his team loses, he's been that guy.
That's incredible.
I still watch hockey as much as I can. I'm like you. I don't watch it as much as I used to. For me, I'll always choose a game seven over something college related that doesn't involve my team, unless it was a college football game. You know, even though the timing really doesn't match up for that for anything, but like if this was the end of March Madness or the men's basketball tournament happening the same night, I would still probably choose the Stanley Cup over that, because I don't care about college sports outside of football as much. It's a cool thing. I've gotten more into college baseball since I've moved to Texas, because in Illinois it's not a thing.
No one cares about it in the Northeast.
No one cares
at all. It is a bummer because the environments that some of these places have for college baseball, I'm sure that if I went to a school that had it, I would have been a part of it too.
Yeah.
I love when Texas A&M fans get under the skin of the opposing pitcher when they start throwing a bunch of balls in a row. Ball four, ball four, ball five, ball six. Because it clearly does get in that guy's head.
Like, I love going to the ones, like, it's not a tournament, but when they have all those games at Minute Maid to start the year, I think that's always a great time. It's cool to see different teams from across the country come and play baseball. I've gone to that the last 2 years, I think. It's a cool thing. It will be on. I will have it on in some capacity tonight.
Okay.
But the Stanley Cup Game 7 will get the primary TV.
Primary TV, got it.
It's Game 7.
Game 7, Game 7.
It's the first Game 7 in sports since the world shut down.
Really?
True?
For a championship?
There has not been a Game 7 for a championship since 2019.
Wow.
So they're rare.
That is actually surprising. I would have thought that there would have been at least one in basketball or in baseball, but now that I think about it, yeah, these have all been rather convincing. I guess Astros-Phillies was maybe the closest.
Yeah.
There's been some sixes.
Yeah, there's been some sixes. And there's been game sevens in, you know, rounds leading up to the championship round. But to decide it all, one moment, one game. And to me,
you got two. I mean, you do have two of those tonight. If College World Series lasted a little bit longer, I mean, this is the equivalent of a game seven. But no, at the same time, this is a good night with the Astros off. One of the last good nights.
It is a great sports night after this, it's all we have is baseball. I guess the Olympics, but even then, that doesn't start till the end of July.
Yeah. So, and since it's in, well, I guess you could just watch it tape delayed. But since it's in France, it'll be happening in the afternoon, not really at night. So if the Astros are off, doesn't help you at night.
As someone who's a not very diehard fan, but as someone who supports Florida hockey. And by Florida hockey, I mean the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, it would be nice to see our rivals from the South blowing a 3-0 series lead.
The 3-0 lead is really that's the most compelling part about this. Yeah. If this was like a game seven or a 7-game series where it was, you know, 2-0, 2-2, 3-3, like, but the fact that it's like, no, you might be the 0-4 Yankees. Just that you have that hanging over one of the team's heads is crazy.
And even then, it's just so much worse. Because I know the Yankees lost to the Red Sox.
I mean,
but to be up 3-0 in the championship series,
in the championship,
and to blow it. Yeah.
I mean, it's literally worse than 3-1. Like it's as bad as it gets
in Stanley Cup playoff history. Prior to this year, 210 teams faced a 3-0 deficit. Of these teams, only four overcame the deficit. And only one of those overcame the deficit in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh, wow.
The Oilers are the 211th, and they've come back from it. I believe the last time that it happened, the 1942 Stanley Cup Finals. So we're talking during World War II.
Crazy. Yeah, asterisk.
I guess it was technically
some of our best players were doing more important things than playing hockey,
and some of the other best players probably too.
I'm actually very curious because it was 1942, and the United States did not enter the war until 1941. I don't know if Canada was in the war technically at that moment in time,
Russia?
Because of their relationship with England. But so it's only happened in 1942. That's it.
It's just
Maple Leafs over the Red Wings.
Like we get so few game sevens in sports, like to really have everything come down to one moment like this. But to your point, the College World Series, it is their version of a game seven. Game three tonight, that's going to be really cool too. I am going to watch. I watched the last two games, and I haven't really watched much of the College World Series, but
watched it on Saturday.
Yeah, I watched Saturday as well. And I'll be watching tonight. I feel like you have to.
A bunch of my buddies are going to be out, and I feel the FOMO. I feel the FOMO.
Mm.
So I think I'm going to go there. Porch Swing Pub, hell yeah. By the way, guys, the Edmonton Oilers, they keep winning. But Edmonton Oilers gal, remember her? For those who don't know, there is a Edmonton Oilers fan who went viral for lifting her hockey sweater up and showing her lovelies to everybody in the crowd. She just posed for Playboy.
Well, good for her.
Which apparently still exists. I did not know it still existed. I thought that they like transitioned to being a magazine for the articles and away from for the pics, if you will.
I still can't. I still don't understand the video. The video we played last week where she like went after the haters.
She was mad at the haters.
I still don't know what
always
haters.
You're always going to have haters.
You're always going to have haters.
I guess.
Even if you're saving
kittens from a tree or whatever.
Kittens, saying. Burning kittens from the river. Right.
Yeah.
Something that involved a lot.
That you're like that.
That
no
video was
that.
So weird.
Good
for her.
In one of these Playboy photos, she is giving the double birds out.
Like that?
To the haters.
To the haters. And also, you know who else is winning? Hawk to a girl? There's merch. She's got merch.
Okay.
People were trying to figure out who she was online. They discovered her first name. Smartly, she deleted her social media before, I guess, people found out who she was.
I feel like that happens every once in a while where someone's like gets ahead of it so well.
She got ahead of it very, very well. She must have known that what she said was the most hilarious thing that anyone has ever said. And she deletes her stuff. I guess her name is Haley, and she has now merchandise. There is merchandise that you
good
can get.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I saw she was autographing some of it.
You can buy Hawk Tua 24 hats that say, what else she was talking about as well. I'm not sure if I can say that on the air, where she spat. Can't talk about that. But Hawk Tua 2024.
It is a new, era of can you say this or not.
You just have to contact the owner of Fathead Threads.
Should we get some?
Get some hats.
I do owe Joel a hat.
That's the hat to get.
For a wager.
That's the
hat
to get.
That would be very funny.
That's the hat to get. It's for a good cause.
See if he wears it.
It's to support your local TikTok stars.
Yeah, to support Haley.
Joel might not know what it means.
No, he'll know what it means.
You never know.
Come on.
Some people don't know these things.
I know Lance knows what it means.
What does that mean?
Lance Zierlein has been tweeting about it all along.
You're right. I saw his tweet.
No one has tweeted about it more than Lance Zierlein has over the course of the weekend.
Hey, Lance got a Lance. He knows what he's doing. He knows his target audience.
His ADD went away for this one key figure in American society.
He can laser focus on
the
that.
Laser focus is here. Day One Donna comments, her parents must be proud.
We talked about that on Friday.
Listen, here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. The way she did it is very charming. It's very charming. I would certainly want to ask her out on a date, not because of what she is intimating she did. She just seems like a fun person.
She does seem like a fun person.
Right.
I don't know if Mr. the Papa talked to a girl.
Hang on. His name is Pookie.
Is it really?
She says,
no, he's talking about,
I love you, Pookie, in the video.
Oh, no, her dad.
Oh, her dad. Yeah, her dad's probably not happy.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's like, well, she is charming. She's talking about where to spit on it.
Do you think that, Sean.
I just said where to spit on it. That's
fine. Yeah, I mean, look, Kyrie Irving spit on Lucky, right? Come on.
Yeah, you can spit on all sorts of things.
Do you think that, there was, an email going around his work? Like in his office, being like, "Have you guys seen this girl?" And then he had to tell everyone to stop because it was his daughter. hey guys,
I want to know that. I want him on. I don't know. I was going to say Good Morning America, but they wouldn't ask the questions I would want them to ask. I want him on here. I want him on Galant George, because I have so many questions about his response to seeing this video.
Yeah. Who doesn't? Look, she's making money off of that. Could probably pay a little more of that college tuition now. Look at the bright side.
College is expensive.
It is really expensive.
Sell a couple hats.
Sell a couple hats. The next thing you know, you're going to be fine.
Those better be really expensive hats if you're going to pay for college.
Well, you're buying one for Joel, so I hope they're not expensive.
Yeah, buy a lot of them.
We'll see what the delivery
is. She just has to sell 10,000 of them.
Yep.
He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's City Girl Summers, guys. City Girl Summer, right? Whether, you know, you're showing them at the arena or you're talking about things in a very charming manner, it is City Girl Summer. Coming up next, the Astros took three of three. Sweep. The sweep that was promised. They delivered. We're talking about that three-game sweep over the Baltimore Orioles. Stick around. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.